we're studying about discipleship, before you can be a disciple, you have to be a son. And we're not talking about sonship this next few lessons. We're talking about discipleship. After you've been saved, then the Lord has something that he wants you to do. And you work and grow and labor. How many has grew in grace since you got saved? Aren't you glad for that? You know, sometimes I've been impatient with others and then I have to stop and think, well, my goodness, you know, the Lord has been very patient with me. And that's just all the patience we need to distribute is what we've received. And so, you know, I know that somewhere or another, really, and they don't take forever, but people will come to the knowledge of the truth and will begin to conform their life, not to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. We get saved, and I really even believe that we have experiences in services, revivals, where we, when it's over, we're more dedicated than we've ever been. Y'all can say amen if you like. Anybody ever experienced that? You just get closer to God through experiences of the Lord, and he manifests himself to you. I was talking this morning about, you know, what Joseph probably thought, you know, and what different ones have thought when things lined up and were confirmed. How many has ever had experiences like that in your life? And I remember, you know, getting saved and realizing, you know, the commitment of the Lord. I'll just be honest with you. I got saved. I know the Lord had forgiven me, and I had that feeling in my life, but I needed more. I needed more. I needed to go buy me a Bible. I needed to learn God's ways. I needed to go to church. I needed the Holy Ghost. I needed to be sanctified in my spirit. I needed to pull these things, give up some things. I had to take some things and put them in the trash can. Y'all remember those days? Things that I was doing, I realized this ain't right. Some of them the next day, some of them the next week, some of them a few months later. But I realized this is not a way a Christian does. This is not the way the Lord wants me to do. This is not the way the people I fellowship. This is not what I've heard taught and preached. And I need to do this way. How many's ever been there? And you say, and then when you know, and it ain't over when you get that little list of two or three dozen things. It ain't over then. How many knows God can still get you closer to you? How many feels like you need a better prayer life? How many feel like you need a more of a spiritual mind and less of a carnal mind? How many thinks you can attain that? The Bible said, follow peace with all men and wholeness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We got to go on. Go on into what? What's our goal? What are we headed toward? What is our goal? On to perfection. Amen. That's full maturation in the kingdom of God. You're just children. How many knows that God showed us this in the Bible, that when you're a new convert, you're like babes that's drinking the sincere milk of the word. But how many knows that there comes a promotion from milk after a while? I love milk, but just milk only? How would you like to be a little baby all your life? Milk all the time. Nothing but milk. Maybe a little applesauce or some other stinking stuff in a stage 2 beech nut jar. Aren't you glad you developed into meat? I mean, he's glad when God finally said, okay, you can go to Longhorn. Huh? God, Golden Corral? I'm glad for a graduation, aren't you? Amen. I don't want to start regressing. Amen. But I'm glad there's a progression. Amen. Somebody said, do you believe in definite sanctification or progressive sanctification? I believe in both of them. All at the same time, if I can. I believe everybody ought to try to get it, don't you? Huh? Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 10, we're talking about these disciples again, 12 apostles, 12 special ones the Lord called out. Now, in this chapter, is broke up in three different things. I think I saw that this morning. Three different areas of discipleship here. One is you know, already past, and then there's the present day of these disciples and what they were going through, and then there's the future discipleship. All that is shown. I think sometimes if we don't watch dealing with these disciples, Jesus, I believe, not only dealt with them individually, personally, for this age they lived in right then, but he used them, Brother Zane, as symbolism of what was to come in the Jewish nation during the last day or the period of tribulation or whatever you call it. Matthew 24, that is really confusing at times. If you don't really properly look at that, Matthew 24, it's not talking about all one period of time. It's talking about two or three different periods of time. And I think when we look at these disciples here, we'll see that in the studying here. But we know that the one dispensation of discipleship was when he sent them out to preach to these Jews. We mentioned last Sunday to the house of Israel. And I mentioned to you, and I didn't go on, but I ask you, do you remember where God's people were established with Abraham and the Jewish nation? How many knows God hasn't completely forgotten them? Huh? He made him a promise, and really, he's going to come back to them. Yes, he is. But he sent these Jews out, and there's a lot of practical teaching in here. He called them out, and he gave them the commission, and he said, and then he told them to go out, and I'm going to pick up here, I think, in verse number 16. But I up to that point, he told them to go out, not to provide for themselves silver or scrip or gold in their purse. And that key word in there is provide. He said, I want you to do this, but I don't want you to take time to go get money out of the bank or dig it out of a hole, or I don't want you to go get an extra coat for the journey, wondering what's ahead of you. I want you just to go. And I want you to go and stay with those who are sympathetic with you and sympathetic with the cause. Now, if they're not worthy, don't stay in their house. If they're not worthy, if they're not sympathetic with the gospel of the kingdom, then don't stay there. And if they reject you, how many remembers what the Bible said? He said, if they reject you, I want you to shake the dust off your feet and just leave them. And the houses that you bless will be blessed. And I know this is talking about the period of time that disciples lived right there at that particular time. But I want to ask you, amen, do you feel like, you know, do you see the influence that God, how can I say it? He distributed it to them, and then they could carry that. Do you realize what an influence we have? You have, do you? How about upon your home? You know, your children, you don't really have to sit your children down, you know, every morning and go over the list of rules, but they watch your life, and they know what you believe, and they know how you conduct yourself and react to life's. Hey, and you are the greatest influence in the life of your children as they grow up, for good or bad. You realize what an influence you have on the job. See, these men had quite an influence. Matter of fact, the Lord said, if there's a place that you put your blessing on, I'll bless it. Anyone you call peace to that situation, I'll call peace. I wonder sometimes if we lose, amen, our witness in this world. Hey, man, I know I don't mean to bore you here this morning, but this is very important. And, you know, I won't hit everybody this morning. Everybody won't respond. But if I can get two, you say, what are we going to do? What's the strategy to go into all the world? Well, let's start with our house. Start with our county. What's the strategy? I'm going to tell you, I've been trying to plot and plot and plan and plan and plot. How am I going to reach everybody, as many as I can? Now, you know I can't knock on every door. Amen. But I tell you what, it would be easier if y'all would help me. Huh? Wouldn't it? You know, the Lord, he sat down, and I'm not the Lord. But the Lord sat down and he said, now I need to go out and reach these Jewish people in this area, and I'm going to get me 12 men, and I'm going to give them power to influence and to be effective, and I'm going to have them go preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. God still has that in mind. That's why he told those disciples. And has anybody ever heard of that book, In Search of the 12 Disciples? I've got it. I boxed up and I can't find it, but I'm going to try to get it. I'd like for you to read some stuff out. I'd like for you to read it. It's just, you know, a historical account of what happened to those 12 disciples. Amen. But I'd like for us to realize, as I'm going to go on with the lesson, but I'd like for us to realize the power of our influence. Now, look, I think sometimes that we forget this part of our calling. God didn't just call us to be saved from hell. He called us to be saved so we could go out and rescue somebody else's perishing. What kind of shape are you in this morning? Amen. Do you have enough in your life, amen, to be able to tell somebody else the eternal gospel truth that they could be converted? The Bible said, he that converted many to what? What? Our church. Wrong answer. He that turneth many to righteousness. That's the goal, is to get people from living wrong to start living right. Oh, hallelujah. Am I preaching right to you or not? He said, he that turneth many to righteousness shine as the stars in the brightness of the firmament. There is something we must win people to. And what is that we're going to win them to? We're going to win them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that these disciples had influence. Now I want you to look at verse 16 with me. Now this could apply to us also. I want you to listen. God help me preach this. My Lord have mercy. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. How many knows that feeling? Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I wonder, I don't know this morning. I wonder, anybody been in the military in here, Brother Zane, Brother Bob? Now, did you join or did they join you? You joined? Okay. When you went in there, I don't know how it goes. I don't know how much processing there is or all that, but when you woke up the morning after you were there, did you have to ask anybody if you were in the army you knew? Well, I don't think everybody here knows that they're in the army yet. How do they go about it, Brother Zane? Did they come in with a cup of warm milk and breakfast and kind of like mama? That ain't the way it is it? Huh? I want to ask you something this morning. I don't think you know you're in the army now. Huh? I think you need to know. I'll tell you. And I know this is a little rough and this is a little brash, and my Christmas cards may be empty. You may not even want to sign them. But I want to preach to you a little bit. It's time you realize you're in the army now. Huh? These disciples, how many knows these disciples realize? Now, when I preach this, I'm not talking just to the preachers or to the teacher. I'm talking to everyone in here that's a born-again child of God. You have, amen, a commitment to be in the army of the Lord. We have armor to put on. Ephesians 6. Now, that armor will let you know we're not going to have a pickup basketball game. It's war. You'll fight or die. What are we fighting for? It's not just self-defense, brother. It's not just to survive hunkered down in the catacombs hoping nobody will find us. But this armor he gave us also has a sword, amen, which is our offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is our goal? Amen. Of course, I know, amen, there's many goals in the Christian church. Amen. Number one, he has us to glorify him. Amen. The world needs to see the church glorifying him. Amen. And we need to lift up one another and instead of shooting one another. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you're wanting to win the lost and you haven't yet glorified God and you haven't yet edified your brother and sister, then you might as well forget it. I've seen folks that cause havoc in churches. But Lord, they get out on the job and they just humble pie. Oh, my brother, you need to go to the house of God. And as mean as snakes. You might as well forget it. You got to get things fixed up, amen, in your own. What did the Bible say about a man that went to the altar with his gift? He said, if your brother has an altar against you, leave your gift to the altar. God don't want to hear it until you go get reconciled with your brother. Come on now, help me preach a little. This won't take long, but I want you to know, first off, I think somebody, how did they wake you up that first morning? Did they wake you, or did he just let you sleep it out and get up when you? No, I don't know. What do they still blow the horn? Do they still have, is it reveille? They still have reveille? Get up. What, you know the words to that? There's words to that song. I know the words to Taps, but I never did learn the words to reveille. But it's time. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up in the morning. Huh? That's kind of the tune of it, isn't it? Did you hear me? Praise God. Oh, Brother Reddy's got too much energy. You just don't know how little I got. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up in the morning. That's reveille. Time to stir up a little bit. Get up! What is it? I know my dad was a worker, poor old dad, over gasping for breath. Now, it just grieves me to watch him. But dad was a worker. But he on Saturdays, if he was home, you know, the sun would come up. He'd come in there and he'd throw the covers off the foot of the bed. I got pretty good sized feet. And he'd grab that big toe and he'd start twisting. And I'd come out like, "You going to sleep all day, boy? Time, get up. Things do around here." Oh, he just laugh, you know. Here I'd come out. Time to get going. Huh? I tell you what, the Lord needs to throw some cover off some people. Ring some big toes. Get up! Time to go to work. There's the world dying. You do it, preacher. Hey, I do need to do it. I feel God dealing with me. But what about you? You say, "Well, preacher, what in the world?" All right, listen. Before you can get there, you got to realize you say, "Well, brother, I can't witness to anybody. They'll get their feelings hurt at me." Huh? If one of your kids is stepping out in the middle of traffic, are you going to say, "I would grab them, but they'll think I'm being a little overbearing"? So you just let them get wiped out. I'd rather grab them by the hair of the head. Huh? Ah, you're pulling my hair. I'm saving your life. Y'all ain't helped me this morning. It's all right. I'll give you a free one every now and then. Hallelujah. Huh? You're going to. Now listen. How did they treat Jesus? How did they treat him? Huh? They bow and give him obeisance and oh. They killed him. How about John? You remember John, don't you? He's the one that said it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Well, everybody loves holiness preaching, man. I'd say he had revivals everywhere. He lost his head. Huh? Now that message, you know, you don't hear that message much anymore because they don't want to lose their head. But it's still true, isn't it? John came preaching the kingdom. He's the one started it, the beginning, initiated it. What happened to him? He died. Well, Jesus came bringing the kingdom. What happened to him? They killed him. What do you think's going to happen to you? Oh, they're going to elevate you to governor of the state. Wouldn't count on it. Matter of fact, if you run for office and they find out you went to Holiness Church, you're out. Huh? You can't hardly win an election if they find out that you're evangelical. Huh? If you believe in evangelism, you're out. Oh, you might win if you're a Muslim or a Mormon, but you ain't going to win if you're an evangelical. Huh? Ooh, y'all aren't getting this, are you? I think sometimes all they persecute, what was that guy's name? It was a Baptist preacher like Huckabee. Boy, they crucified that guy. And I preached her one day. I can't remember who it was, but somebody here, I tightened her down pretty tight. And out in the parking lot, they said, "Brother, I can't never run for office now." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, if they find out about my preacher and hear some of your tapes, I'm out of it." Huh? Yeah, that's right. They get some of these tapes this morning, they'd be out of it. Wouldn't they do it? But I'll tell you what, they didn't love Jesus either. Amen. You know what he said to those that was going up the hill crying, "Don't cry for me, cry for you and your children." They done this in a green tree. In other words, anybody ever try to burn green wood? It don't burn real fast, does it? So if they'll do this in a green tree, what are they going to do to dry? So I want you to know right off, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. You know what a lot of people say? Well, I ain't going. If that's the way it's going to be, I ain't going. That ain't what they said. And that ain't what you can say. Do we not witness to people? Now look, I know there's got to be a way to do it. I know. And you pray about the way everybody's a little different. Everybody responds a little different. Some people, I remember Brother Charlie got saved several Easters back, about 10 or 11, 12. I don't know how many it's been. But somebody went to you that morning. You remember that? I'm so glad they did. But there's been other people that people go to them and they say, "I'll never go to church again." You understand what I'm saying? You got to follow the leading of the Spirit. Huh? You got to follow the leading of the Spirit. You get out there on the job, amen, and you're working, and you know, if God's got it. You have got to let the Spirit of the Lord lead you. And you got to realize, amen, that you can't always be buddy-buddy. They're going to hate you after a while. I said the world is going to hate you if you live for Jesus Christ. Now, I see you don't believe that, but it's right there in that book. They're going to despise and unless they're converted. So you've got to be ready for that. You're sheep among wolves. Sheep among wolves. Now, just think of that. Sheep. Y'all ever raised sheep? Anybody ever raised sheep? Now, is that a good situation, you think? A sheep among wolves? No. But he sent them out. "I am sending you out." Can you see in the natural shepherd going in, "Okay, little woolies, I got some wolves out here. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the door, and I want y'all to go out there among them." That don't sound even right, does it? That's the way it is. He said, "I want you to be wise as serpents." Now, you got to have a strategy here. How many woke up this week on Monday getting ready to go out there in the world? And you say, "Now, I've got a job to do. I've got to witness. I've got to be a light to these people. I've got to try to convince somebody to come to God. What's my strategy?" How many thought of that? No, you might have got up and said, "Now, I've got to cut this metal out here and got to grind this down. Got to put that weld that back, that piece there. I got to get this truck fixed. Got to get this axle replaced. Now, I've got to do this. And we plan, we plot, we plan. We got to do this. We got have this coming, going here. I got to take this end loader over there. I got to take that excavator over there, and I got to do this. Got to cook breakfast. I got to clean the house. Got to do my Christmas shopping. But what about your soul business? Any strategy? Any plan? Any particular person you've planned to attack this week, spiritually? Oh, I got some response there. Oh, I'm glad I mentioned that now. Huh? Okay, here's the way I want you to do. Wise as serpents. How many remember hearing Brother Savage preach his message on that? Boy, he does such a great job on that. And one of the things in his message that I love about that wisdom of that serpent. Now, first off, a serpent, I mean, they are hard, you know, in a general sense to, you know, they're there a lot of times you never know they're there. How many knows that? I mean, I used to go in the barn. Boy, I hated that. But them old black snakes to get in them barn. And they'd lay all around. Y'all not getting nervous on me, are you? Huh? I was preaching at a youth camp years ago in my younger days and out in an open shed, and there was a big old snake laid up on the beam, and there was about 100 people there, and about every one of them had their feet up in the seat. And the snake was up there. You know, I don't want to get you that, but I used to go in that old barn, and they, you know, my daddy'd say, black snake won't hurt you. And I thought, yeah, right. You've told me other stuff too, huh? Like eating boiled cabbage was all right. Huh? Yeah. But I didn't trust that deal. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord saw some wisdom in a snake. And I'll tell you something else. And I love this part right here. One thing that we've got to understand is that snake, when he feels danger, what does that snake do? Coils up, and the body is kind of compacted, but something is alive. How many knows which part is alive? It's that head. That's the wisdom of a serpent. When they get in trouble, they bring their body under the authority of that head. Who is the head of the church anyway? See, that's why he could say you're going to go out as a sheep among wolves, because I'm your head. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you the words to say. You read that on in there. He says don't worry about it. But I'm going to tell you, if I'm preaching, if you're not in the army today, you're not getting this message. Because civilians don't get it. I mean, when they play, you got to get up, you got to get up, you got to get up in the morning. I'm not an army. Cover your head up. Get up when I feel like it. Is that the way you are in the army of the Lord? I'll go if I want to. I'll do it when I get ready. Not if you're in the army, you won't. Huh? What do they call it? Dishonorable discharge? I don't want that. I'm trying to talk to you this morning. Wise as serpents. And that serpent has a lot of characteristics that are, I guess we could, you know, what the Lord was saying. He went on to say, harmless in the same individual. The wisdom of a serpent, but the spirit and the harmlessness of a dove. Amen. Now, how many knows anything about a dove and how pure it is? It doesn't have a gall. It's not bitter. They say those that watch birds say they marry for life. They are together for life and never get another mate. That one forever. That gentleness. And I love to watch them, don't you? The cooing and the flutter of their wings. It's just very peaceful. And he says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to be holiness. I want you to live right. And I want you to use that serpent wisdom. But I also want you to be pure and harmless as a dove. Boy, I don't know if I know I'm not getting that to you this morning. Running out of time. And I hate to wake some of y'all up so early. You haven't got your nap completely out. So I want, let me finish this up here. I know it's too warm in here for us. Listen to this. Let me read it to you. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. Now, I'm going to read this and we'll let you go. One more verse. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors, kings, for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Do you see what I'm saying? They went from the Jews, and now the Gentiles. He's going. This not only is for that period of time that he sent those two disciples out, two by two, but it's going to be during the period of the Gentile also. They're going to scourge you. They're going to rebuke you. They are going to insult you, and they might even do you bodily harm. What does that mean? The job's off. Into adversity, does that mean it's all out? I want to ask you, stand with me, please. God bless you. I feel like the Lord is helping us to see in our mission. Boy, we had 2,820. Amen. Where is everybody? I'll tell you what. Anybody here feel obligated to find out? That's everybody's business, brother. That's just everybody's own business. It is. But are they sick? Lost interest? Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Go out. Amen. Whatever the cost, how many thinks it'll be worth it if we win one soul? What about right here in the church? What if we keep one soul from backsliding? Be worth it? Huh? What if we win one soul? It don't really matter who it is, does it? But I like to win. I like to win more than one soul. Amen. Win them to righteousness, to God, to Jesus Christ.